This is the Europe Report with special correspondent Kanaan Lipschitz.
Good afternoon, Kanaan. How are you?
Hi, Kathy. I'm good. How are things?
Yes, very well, thank you. In what country do we find you?
I'm home in Amsterdam,
but
with my mind on France, actually, when I'm not looking at Poland, what's happening there. Because in France, just yesterday, there was a massive protest by many thousands of people on the street to react to a new mutation of anti-Semitism.
Which is what?
Well, for the past 20 years, the working assumption has been that anti-Semitism is making a comeback in Western Europe because of a perfect storm. And what's driving that perfect storm, major, in a broad manner, two things. One, the anti-Semitism of Muslim immigrants, some of them. And the other is the far-right nationalists. And it all began in the year 2000, when the Second Intifada in Israel broke out. People in the predominantly Arab suburbs of Paris torched a few synagogues. And that progressed into what we know is now the reality there, where most violent attacks on Jews are by people with Muslim or Arab background. And that's called new anti-Semitism, where Jews are singled out as targets as payback for Israel's perceived actions. So that's one thing. And then 2 years later, in 2002, Jean-Marie Le Pen, a Holocaust denier, gets into the second round of the presidential elections.
Sure.
Major shock. 17% of the vote goes to him, and it shows that there are these two fringes that are growing, and they're feeding on anti-Semitism, but they're not talking to each other, right? They hate each other.
That's, yeah. Are you still there, Kanaan? Oh, you are there.
So that was the lay of the land. But now, really in the past few years, and we're seeing it manifest itself in the past few months, we're seeing a new mutation. And that's the return of 1930s and 1920s classic anti-Semitism that doesn't have anything to do with Israel and isn't nationalist, because it's being propagated by people that believe in class warfare rather than the vision of the nation state. And we're seeing that in Paris through the Yellow Vests protests, where Islamists and nationalists and communists march together in a wave of protest against raising taxes. And what are the first things they say? Macron is a prostitute of the Jews, President Macron. And there are numerous incidents of anti-Semitism, so many that it seems intrinsic to the movement itself. And then in the UK, we have Corbyn and the Corbynistas, who are importing anti-Semitism into Labour, that used to be the political home of British Jews, with similar arguments. The EU is governed by globalists, by speculators. And of course, we're seeing also Donald Trump use similar language with a similar increase in anti-Semitic hate crimes in the U.S. So on top of these two elements, we're seeing a return of the 1930s anti-Semitism, and it's possibly much more worrisome, because whereas the first two forms were isolated and basically rivalry, they were rival groups, left and right, this one transcends party lines to produce a much more robust presence on the street.
What's so interesting, though, is that, you know, when we see an anti-Semitic Europe, we're surprised by it, which I find surprising. I mean, even going back, and I'm sure that there are even earlier cases, but 1890s, there was the Dreyfus affair, right? France has been inherently anti-Semitic. It comes and goes. It never really goes, Kanaan. So why do we keep being surprised by it?
I don't know about you, Kathy, but I, although I don't have the privilege of being an optimist, being raised and born a Jew and all, I keep returning to this optimist delusion. And there are also evidence to support this optimism. Look at Spain and Portugal, how they now made a law of return for the Sephardic exiles and are really repenting for it in some way. So that kind of makes you, if you're inclined to believe in humanity's ability to rectify itself, and we Jews are, tikkun olam and all, it's very tempting. But then in many cases, we get a very real encounter with reality.
Yeah, it wasn't so long ago that Germany had the fastest growing Jewish population in Europe. And now I saw a report just today on one of the European websites, I think it was Deutsche Welle, that, you know, they've done a whole documentary on the Jews fleeing Europe. They can't get out of there fast enough. It's terrible, Canaan. So, you know, is there a cognitive dissonance? Is it like, you know, Jews can't live with them, can't live without them? Is that Europe's opinion of Jews?
It certainly seems to be something that's connected to the psyche, to the European psyche. And we see this in countries that hardly have any Jews, like Romania. 8,000 Jews left in Romania.
Yeah.
How many Jews are there in Poland? 15,000 at most. And yet we see all this agitation around Jews as though even when they're gone, they are still exist in the European psyche to some degree.
Yeah. So how do you make sense of it? Can you make sense of it? I mean, you see it and you've probably got more insight than anybody else I know because you're traveling around Europe all the time. You're reporting on it. You're speaking to people. You're speaking to people about the issues. How do you make sense of it, Canaan?
I regret to say I don't make much sense of it. This conclusion that I just shared with you about the return of classic anti-Semitism has come as a great shock to me, and only recently did I become aware of it. It takes time for things to coalesce until you get a lay of the land and understand what's going on. And it's just very, very disheartening because I and so many others thought mistakenly that we had crossed that point, that we had moved on. And here we are returning right back into it.
Yep. And certainly something that I think makes our reports with you very interesting and extremely necessary. So, Canaan Lipschitz, thank you very, very much for your time this week. I hope that you and your family have a good Shabbos, and we look forward to speaking to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.